I celebrate National Blue Jay Awareness Month every time there's a blue moon, so this year marked it in August. And no sooner than the month was over than BBC Nature reported on a jay study just published in the journal Animal Behavior. Scientists at the University of California, Davis conducted experiments showing that western scrub jays hold an avian form of a funeral when they discover a dead jay. When the researchers, led by Teresa Iglesias, set out a dead jay or a mounted specimen of a jay in a residential neighborhood, the first jay to encounter it called out to other jays. The whole group stopped foraging, often flying down to the dead body in a group. They made alarm calls and an array of other calls that apparently drew in other jays. They did not resume foraging for food, sometimes for more than a day. The researchers placed other objects in the same kinds of areas and found that the birds ignored colored pieces of wood, so they weren't simply surprised to find something novel. When the researchers set out a stuffed great horned owl, the jays gathered and made alarm calls, swooping at it as they do to live predators until they figured out that it wasn't a threat. They did not swoop at dead jays that looked dead, though they sometimes did swoop at dead jays that were stuffed to appear alive, the way their species sometimes attacks strange jays invading their territories. With an actual dead bird, the scrub jays held what the researchers concluded was a form of funeral, the function of which might be to warn others of nearby dangers. On the BBC Nature page with the story, they linked to a story about a mother giraffe who would not leave the body of her dead calf. Considering this, as well as similar stories about elephants and chimpanzees, evidence that some mammals may feel grief. Whether birds feel grief is a question the Western Scrub Jay study didn't even attempt to address, since the dead jays that they set out were not individuals known to the jays being studied. Really, if there was a human connection to be made, it seems to me less comparable to a funeral than to the ritual some people have of reading the obituary page, noticing what ages various people are who have died and what they died from, and silently or not so silently wondering about their own chances for longevity. I've personally witnessed blue jays at Hawk Ridge after one of their flock members was plucked off by a sharp-shinned hawk or a merlin. In those cases, the killed jays were not around for a proper funeral, but I've often compared the surviving jays' behavior to what I've seen at various Irish wakes in Chicago. My father, for example, was an Irish Chicago firefighter. He died in 1980 of a sudden heart attack right after a fire. He was only 50. At the funeral home on the two nights of the wake, his brother, also a firefighter, met every new firefighter at the door. They'd walk up to the casket, my uncle sobbing, them talking about how good my dad looked except for being dead, sometimes also talking about how they should spend more time in the gym or going on a diet or something, the subtext being that they wanted to avoid the same fate. Then they'd head to the bar next door, getting back in time for my uncle to greet the next firefighter to arrive. Hawk Ridge is not conveniently situated next to a bar, as Chicago funeral homes all seem to be, but otherwise the jay's behavior after one is killed always made me think of my dad's wake. Those jay gatherings often lasted for over an hour, and if other jays were coming through while the first flock was still squawking, the new jays would join in. It's impossible for a species with our limitations to know what their widely varied chatter and squawking meant. Were the birds feeling sorrow, anxiety, fear, outrage? If they could calm their nerves with a good stiff drink at an Irish bar, would they? Until Rosetta Stone software starts including lessons to teach us blue jay language, we just can't know. We may not understand bird language yet, but I can't imagine that jays of all species don't share a lot more in common with us humans than most people think. I'm Laura Erickson speaking for the birds.